You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported,
community radio for South Central Indiana.
Good afternoon. Reporting for WFHB, this is Cade Young.
And I'm Jim Odom. This is the WFHB local news for Tuesday, March 12th, 2024.
I had some ideas about a way a publication might work a little bit better, and so I thought we'd give it a shot.
Later in the program, we revisit an archived interview with Peter Lopilato, editor and publisher of The Writer magazine, who passed away last week. More in today's feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, we have Lil Bub's Lil Show, a co-production between the WFHB Local News and Lil Bub's Big Fund. But first, your local headlines. At the March 6th meeting of the Monroe County Commissioners, the board approved funding for land appraisals of a possible location for the new jail facility. The location is at the intersection of West State Road 46 and Hunter Valley Road. County Attorney Jeff Cockerell provided background on the appraisals.
Yes, I'm going to give a little background on this because I think it's important that the public hears why we're looking at this. This is two appraisals which we're required to do in order to determine what our maximum price is for a piece of ground in along the 46 corridor. These two appraisals, these are being requested because when we were looking at the Thompson site for our jail facility and our co-locating the justice center there, ran into a lot of issues. Some of them were financial, some of them were timing, and I think when we had an executive session with the council and the sheriff's staff, including the sheriff, the dealing with the electrical lines would require at least a 2 to 2.5 year delay in being able to really do a lot of work on that property. And everybody at that meeting kind of surmised that kind of a delay would be a real problem and a hindrance to being able to really get our inmates in a facility that is humane and makes sense.
Cockerell explained that when the county was originally looking for properties, they had done a search of 3 or 4 different properties. This area was the next one on that list of where they had previously looked.
So we reached out to the owner. It's a different site than what we looked at before because of the reason it was so low is because of some of the site issues that we were dealing with, a different part of that property. And so this is just kind of to get the ball rolling on, hey, what is this really going to cost? And, you know, and then shortly after this, you'll probably see a phase one environmental review.
Commissioner Lee Jones responded that the new advancement in the jail process is good.
It's good to be moving forward again. It took a lot of discussion and consideration to come to this decision. And of course, it's not a final decision yet. We're just looking at the possibility of using this property. But it's good to be moving forward. This whole process has taken longer than we would have liked. So it's great to hear this.
The motion to fund the two property appraisals passed unanimously. The next meeting of the Monroe County Board of Commissioners will be held on March 13th.
At the Monroe County Election Board meeting on March 7th, Councilmember Isaac Asari spoke to the election board about his late CFA for filing.
First off, had only heard of the reason for this meeting upon arriving today. That is not any excuse. I'm just stating the facts of my lack of preparedness. But I said that I take these filings very seriously. I'm not asking for leniency, nor am I contesting any of the facts. I I think that it is important that that be stated very clearly for the record. So,
the board voted to give him a warning. Next, Monroe County Democrat Hans Kelsen spoke and explained why he was late.
In the spirit of full honesty, I will just say that the facts you have are incorrect, and this is not the first time that I have been labeled as filing. Now, if you want to go with the information that you had, that would be fine with me, but I am honor bound to state that. However, in this case, there have been a lot of, well, let's put it this way. It was 13 minutes. I remembered that I had to do it, and I raced through it, and you know, I did it in record time, and you know, my explanation for myself is really that my campaign only exists because I have not, there's some paperwork I have to finish, and I am not actually a candidate for office, and I had completely forgotten that I had to file this form until I was notified that the online filing service was going away a week before the deadline. And so then it slipped through. So I'm sorry, but also, I'm not actually a candidate. And I think I made a pretty heroic effort to try to get it in on time.
I certainly appreciate the candor.
The other thing I will state is that since I initially ran for office, the rule has, I believe, changed, and campaigns of my size don't even need to form committees anymore. So the fine, I think, at this point would be more than the entire budget of my campaign ever was. So I humbly request not to have to pay it. Thank you.
The board also voted to give Kelsen a warning. Next, they discussed Ellisville Town Council member William Ellis's late CFA 4 filing.
I want to apologize to the election board and to the county. What's ironic about this is on the 10th, I sent out an email to every Republican reminding them to timely file their forms. And guess who didn't? So, and the only, I have no, I don't have an excuse. As soon as I realized that I didn't file, within minutes, I filed. So I apologize, but I will accept whatever judgment the board. I know better.
The board voted to give him a warning since it was his first offense. Also forgiven was Monroe County Prosecutor Erica Oliphant. The board also discussed a missing form from Steve Olin. Later in the meeting, County Clerk Nicole Brown introduced the new Chief Deputy and Election Supervisor.
Then I want to remind the board that I did advise that we would have, by the next meeting, we would have a chief deputy clerk as well as an election supervisor. And with that, I would love to introduce Laura Wirt, who is formerly a chief deputy at the Brown County Clerk's Office. And then Miss Kylie, you will already remember, who was working and helping us with elections. She was promoted from within to election supervisor. I am very excited, thrilled, fortunate to get to work with these young ladies. And I think that you are going to find them as amazing as I do, with my bias very openly showing. Thank you.
Brown also reminded the public that early voting registration dates are slightly different than normal due to the solar eclipse.
So the eclipse didn't care about the fact that early voting was getting ready to start. And so normally April 8th would be the last day that you could officially register if you wanted to vote in the coming election, the upcoming primary. But because of the eclipse, that deadline has been moved to noon on April 9th. With that being said, that does not interfere. Early voting will start at 8:00 in the morning on April 9th. Polls will be open, but you can register until noon that day. This has never happened to me before. I don't know how the logistics are going to work out, but the Indiana Election Division, I'm sure, will give us guidance. We're not the only county that's going to be closed due to the eclipse.
The next Monroe County Election Board meeting will be held on April 4th. Bloomington lost one of its foremost cultural icons last week. In so many ways, Peter Lopilato was the heartbeat of Bloomington. He had shaped and transformed the arts, film, and the cultural scene for over four decades. He helped start many careers in the arts by encouraging people to write their first articles and create their first cover images in the Writer magazine. He connected Bloomington to the rest of the world through the Writer film series that showcased independent and art house films such as Weeping Camel and Killing Fields, to name a few. He was considerate, compassionate, and kind. The most even-keeled mentor a reporter could have had. Now we turn to an archived interview with Dr. Felice Cicek and Peter Lopilato from 2019, where he was a guest for our former segment, Art Beat, discussing the 40th anniversary of the Writer magazine. We turn now to that interview in memory of Peter Lopilato.
Welcome to Art Beat with Dr. Felice Cicek at WFHB. My guest today is Peter Lopilato. Welcome, Peter.
Hey. So how do you get your guests? How do you line up your roster?
Usually people I know or people I meet. For example, I went to a gallery wall. I met with the artist who was there, Geshe Wirschel. And on the spot, I said I would like to talk to you. I found her work very interesting. It was about lynchings in American South. She was German, married an African American. So she said, sure. And then next morning, I met her at her hotel room, like hour before she was leaving.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes just seizing the moment.
Yeah.
Sometimes arranging. And other times people write to me.
Well, that's one of the great things about radio is it's quick and you can be agile.
Well, I have an organic process, whether I'm making art or writing. I'm just being Felice in some ways, and I think that it's working with the radio, I guess.
Do your listeners know that you're being Felice?
I don't know. I don't know how many of my listeners really know me. I met you twice. First, I sent you an email with an article. I didn't know who you were. And I suggested that Americans were working too hard, and that they weren't enjoying life. And the quality of life wasn't as good as it could be. And then the article was titled, Relax.
Okay.
You don't even remember.
Did we run it?
No, you didn't. But you then said, this is very interesting. You acknowledged it. And then you talked about it with me. You were engaging with the article, but no, you did not run it. I think second time when I didn't like a cover that you had run. Mm. So I was giving you a feedback and you said, well, you do it.
Really? Is that what I said?
Yeah.
It's funny because some of the people who wrote articles in that 40th anniversary issue have similar stories. And it surprises me when I hear them about how seemingly casually I made decisions. I make decisions as in, okay, you do it.
40th anniversary issue, you have people from the 80s.
People from a bygone era. Actually predates the 80s. I mean, a couple of those people are from the 70s. Michael Bourne, who hosted a radio show on WFIU. It became the show Between You and Me, which David Brent Johnson hosts today. But in the 60s and 70s, Michael hosted it. So he has a piece. He wrote for us in the early 80s. Michael is also a musician. Michael was in a band called the Screaming Gypsy Bandits, one of Bloomington's first avant-garde meta-punk bands. Michael wrote a piece for us. Anthony DeCurtis. He wrote a book recently on Lou Reed. He's been a contributing editor at Rolling Stone for several decades. He reviewed an Elvis Costello album in our very first issue. He said Elvis Costello is someone to watch. That was his prediction.
Wow.
Yeah.
So some people moved on to the national scene from Writer.
Yeah, you could say that.
And how did you start it with the Writer? How did Writer start it?
You know, it's a personal thing. I had been writing for, there were several weekly newspapers in Bloomington at that time, alternative weeklies. They were great publications. They were scrappy. They were vibrant. They had a lot going for them. You know, I wanted to write. So I wrote. They taught me how to do layout. I sold some ads. I did some copy editing. So yeah, I did that for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And the way those kinds of publications work, after a while, people either move on or they get burned out because nobody's really making any money. And, you know, at some point in time, you've got to get on with your life. So all those papers folded, and then it was either time for me to, you know, I don't know, move into adulthood or continue to hang out and do what I've been doing. I had some ideas about a way a publication might work a little bit better. And so I thought we'd give it a shot. I'd learned enough so that I was confident I could at least put 1 or 2 issues out.
Yeah, because I was actually thinking, you know, since I came to Bloomington, I have also seen other publications come and go. And I was wondering, like, what's the secret of writer?
Yeah, what's the secret? Why don't we come and go? Felice, it's a combination of perseverance and inertia. It's 90% of one, 10% of the other. I don't know which is which. I mean, I enjoy most of what I do most of the time. And so it's good.
There is also the film.
So right around the time that we started the magazine, I was trying to come up with a way to connect more directly with our readers in person, face to face. There were my friends and some of my family members in New York were telling me about movies that they were seeing that weren't being shown here in the theaters that we had at the time. So I thought, well, let's try to start a film program. I went over to it's the Switchyard now. At that time, it was called Time Out. It was owned by an ex-IU basketball player named Archie Dees. So Time Out Basketball. Just talked to him about maybe showing films in his bar. We did 4 films there. Then Archie sold the bar. So we moved over to Bear's Place, where we've been ever since.
So do you still run the movies you and your family friends suggest? Or how do you choose the films today? Because you have expanded, you collaborate with IU Cinema.
Yeah, I mean, people suggest films all the time. So sure, I'm open to suggestions. You know, I kind of know what's out there. We work a little bit with the IU Cinema. Sometimes we co-program. But, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, for the most part, I just kind of show, you know, it's either a film that I'm interested in seeing, or it's a film that I think our core film goers would be interested in seeing.
What are some of the most fun or interesting, intriguing films or events that stands out when you think back?
Don't make me think back.
Okay. Okay, what are you looking forward to?
Halloween's coming up. For about 5 or 6 years, there was a band in town called M. They were a surf rock punk band. Steve Sims is still here in Bloomington, and the other 2 members have moved away. They wrote an original soundtrack for Nosferatu, the silent Nosferatu. And we did it at Bear's. We played, you know, right up front by the stage in what is called the pit. And we had the film up on the screen. We did, you know, multiple shows every October for 5 or 6 years until the band basically kind of split up. But that was always a great time. About 5 years ago, I convinced them to reunite. And we did it again at the IU Cinema.
What's coming up then? Do you have a similar show for Halloween?
Well, no, we don't have any similar shows for Halloween. That's not the question. Yeah, the rest of the schedule is disappointing from here on out.
But you have the Cats and Dogs Film Festival.
Are you going to come?
Yes.
We have the our International Children's Film Festival. It's a collection of short films from around the world that are intended for children. There's 2 programs, one for kids ages 3 to 7. And then the second program is for children 8 to 80 years old. It's for the young and the young at heart, Felice. Anyway, that's Sunday, November 10th at the Buskirk Chumley Theater.
And most people know Ryder, but, you know, it's college town, so people come and go.
Is that the way it works here?
Yeah.
If not, people hang and staying here for 40 or 50 years. You know, yesterday on the square, last night, I met somebody right outside of our office. He lives in Colorado. He went to school here from 65 to 69. He was here for the student demonstrations. I think those were really exciting years in Bloomington.
Well, I am a Bloomerang. I met students who come and they might be interested in some of the Ryder films, mm-hmm. but, you know, they don't know.
So you want me to give you sort of a snapshot of what we do? We show first-run foreign language films, activist documentaries, occasionally a classic film as well. You know, the general idea is that these are films that you're not going to find at the multiplex. They are unlike most Hollywood movies, which are where creative decisions are made by attorneys and accountants. And by the way, I watch Hollywood films all the time. So, I mean, good films do come out of Hollywood. But unlike those films, the films that we show tend to be more the creative vision of one or two people. So they're a little bit more idiosyncratic. You might have to think a little bit more as you're watching the film. I know that's a scary thought.
So it's not like Captain America.
Yeah, but we have nothing against Captain America.
Yeah, because Captain America is shown.
We're showing stuff that you wouldn't have a chance to see otherwise. Yeah.
I mean, I watch Captain America in Indonesia.
Have you seen Quentin Tarantino's movie?
No.
Oh, you got to see it, Felice.
The Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Absolutely. I mean,
Why?
It's the best movie that's been made so far this year. It just touches all the right buttons. It's a love letter to Hollywood and to movie making and to the work.
Do we love Hollywood?
Well, we love movies.
Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you could take issue with the things that he's saying in there, but I just loved it. Everyone who's listening should go see it. You're skeptical
of the use of violence, almost like a pornography or celebration of violence in Tarantino's movies. I call them dick flicks as opposed to chick flicks, where men cry in bullets or in blood. I do watch them as part of my job as film critic or scholar.
Yeah.
But do I love Tarantino?
Well, this movie's a little bit different.
Okay.
You should see it.
Thank you for coming, Peter.
Sure. Happy to be here.
You have been listening to Artbeat with Dr. Felice Cicek on WFHB.
Up next, we have Lil Bub's Lil Show, a co-production between the WFHB Local News and Lil Bub's Big Fun. We turn now to that segment.
Welcome to Lil Bub's Lil Show, a weekly co-production from WFHB and Lil Bub's Big Fund. We highlight adoptable animals with special needs in South Central Indiana and spotlight topics to promote human-animal welfare. On today's episode of Lil Bub's Lil Show, we're going to be talking about why it's important you adopt, not shop, for your new pet. Sadly, despite our best efforts, Bill 1412 has passed, which allows for pet stores in our state to sell puppy mill pets, but that doesn't mean our work is done. It means it's time to advocate for our commitment to adopt, don't shop. Because when it comes to finding a new dog, the choice we make can change the world one companion animal at a time. First, a heartfelt thank you to everyone who stood with us against Bill 1412. Your support has been incredible, and it's more important than ever as we navigate these changes together. The bill's passing marks a challenging time for animal welfare, but it also reinforces the importance of our collective action. With the new law set to take effect on July 1st, our focus shifts to a message we've always believed in: adopt, don't shop. This isn't just a slogan. It's a lifeline for countless dogs waiting in shelters for a family to call their own. It's a stand against the inhumane practices of puppy mills and the pet stores that support them. Remember, every time someone chooses to adopt rather than shop, a pet store loses the demand that fuels its business. And that's a powerful way to make change. So, are you thinking about welcoming a new dog into your home? That's wonderful. Dogs bring so much joy and companionship into our lives. But where your new friend comes from matters more than you might think. Puppy mills are notorious for their cruel treatment of animals, and unfortunately, they're more common than we'd like to believe. In our work at the Bub Fund, we've seen firsthand the conditions these dogs endure, and it's our mission to put an end to this abuse. If you're set on finding the perfect canine companion, we urge you to consider adoption first. Shelters and rescue organizations are filled with dogs of all breeds, ages, and sizes, just waiting for someone to give them a second chance at happiness. And if you have your heart set on a specific breed, there are breed-specific rescue groups out there too. We understand the appeal of looking for a puppy, but let's be clear, pet stores are not the place to find your next family member. Despite what they may claim, many pet stores are in business with puppy mills, selling dogs that have been bred in deplorable conditions. Don't be swayed of promises of home-raised or family-raised puppies found online or in ads. These are often fronts for puppy mills, designed to deceive well-meaning individuals like you. The temptation to rescue a puppy mill dog by purchasing them is understandable, but this only perpetuates the cycle of cruelty. Instead, if you come across a puppy in poor conditions, reach out to your local animal control or rescue organization. They have the resources to intervene and truly help these animals. Together, we can pledge to make a difference. Choose to adopt, not shop, for your next pet. Refuse to support pet stores and websites that sell puppies. Together, we can help put an end to puppy mills and ensure that every dog gets the chance at a loving forever home they deserve. Every choice we make can help save a life. Let's choose kindness and compassion. In the spirit of today's episode, we're featuring a dog waiting for his forever home at our local Bloomington, Indiana shelter. Today's featured pet is Roz, and here's what shelter staff had to say about him. Roz came to us as a very young dude with three of his siblings. The whole group were under-socialized but made quick progress with a little staff love. With the exception of a few weeks, he has been in our building since September of 2023. This has our staff confused, since he is a really great dog. He gets on well with most other dogs and is considered a playgroup rock star. He has potential to do well with cats in the home. He's been friendly with every single person he has met. He's excellent at our off-site events and walks well on a leash. He has come a long way from the nervous, skinny little guy we first met. We're hopeful he'll find someone to whisk him away from our shelter very soon. If you'd like to meet Roz and bring him home, you can visit the Bloomington shelter or call them at 812-349-3492. Thank you for tuning in to Lil Bub's Little Show on WFHB, produced in partnership with Lil Bub's Big Fund. Find us online at goodjobbub.org and wfhb.org.
Support for the WFHB local news is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. More information online at mpisolarenergy.com. You've been listening to the WFHB local news. Today's headlines were written by Noelle Herhusky Schneider in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Dr. Felice Cicek.
Lil Bub's Lil Show is produced by Christine Brackenhoff and Stacy Brodowski. Our theme music is provided by Mark Bingham and the Social Climbers. Engineer and executive producer is Cade Young. For WFHB, I'm Jim Odom.
And I'm Cade Young. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast online at wfhb.org.
The WFHB local news is also available as a podcast. Just search our call letters, WFHB, wherever you listen to your podcast. Subscribe to never miss another local news program.
Stay tuned for DisaBulletin, a program amplifying the voices of the disability community, coming up next on WFHB.